is I want to learn together a sugya tonight that starts out of Maseches Sukkah, takes us a little bit through a tour of some kachum sugyas, and then lands us in a very, very relevant halach lemais topic. We spoke a little bit about this on a Friday night a couple of years ago when we were doing the Sukkah Shura. It was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, whatever it was. 2 years ago, no, it was when we were learning Maseches Sukkah on Friday nights, but then it was a very quick 20-minute chabura, so I thought we'd elaborate a little bit more on the, without the challenge, we'd elaborate a little bit more on the sugya now, with some very real ramifications of halacha l'maaseh. So the sugya, we'll go work backwards. The halacha l'maaseh part is how big a mechitza and shul is supposed to be, and the sugya begins really Maseches Sukkah, and again, we'll take a little bit of tour through kachim also, so rather than just focusing on inches, let's get an understanding of where the sugya comes from. So the sugya begins in Maseches Sukkah, where the Gemara tells us the days of the Beis HaMikdash, there was a very real problem during Simchas Beis Shuev. I was telling this over to my kids the other night, and they couldn't believe this was, I was telling them a true story. The Gemara says it was a real problem. And, people were talking, the man and the women were schmoozing with each other during Simchas Beis Shuev. So Chazal saw that that was not an acceptable activity to be taking place, especially in the context of the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore they tried all kind of different kunzim, all kind of plans to try to separate the men and women from each other. So they stuck the men inside, they stuck the women outside. So they put the men outside, the women inside, Gornishkaf, and nothing worked. Finally, Gemara says the only thing that worked was they built a gzustra, they built a balcony in the area called the Ezras Nashim, and the women were above and the men on the bottom, and then finally, Baruch Hashem, that solved the problem. So the Gemara jumps and says, how are you allowed to do such a thing? Just to build a balcony just like that in the middle of Beis HaMikdash, that poses a very serious halachic problem. It's a problem of what we call a kol b'chsav. Pasuk says in the Reyamim that David HaMelech had a nevuah. He had received a tradition from the Nevi'im about exactly how the Beis HaMikdash is supposed to look. Every nook and cranny of the Beis HaMikdash was mapped out. And the halacha is that you're not allowed to add on your own. It's not you don't give the plans back to the architects and let them patch around a little bit. There's no human intervention. It's all the kol b'chsav yad Hashem alayhi scale. Everything has to be exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated to the Nevi'im. So the Gemara understood that that's a real problem. That's an issa min haTorah of a kol b'chsav. It's clear from the Gemara. In other contexts, this is a real din. Kol b'chsav, and therefore the Gemara asks, what right did they have in the days of the Beis HaMikdash to add on to the Tzuris HaMikdash? If obviously a balcony wasn't in the original plans, well then Mechateis that they have a right to do it. So the Gemara says, no, that's okay. That this was not considered to be a violation of the Isra of Kol b'chsav, of adding on to the Beis HaMikdash, because they realized, based on Psukim, where it quotes a series of Psukim from Nevi'im, that they realized that this was a tremendous tzairich, that this is something which was absolutely necessary, absolutely critical, and presumably since it was such a tzairich to be done, somehow that didn't pose a problem. So the Yisav HaKol B'Chsav means, if you decide on your own, you want to add on something to the Beis HaMikdash that's not so important, you want, you know, you like another door, then you'd like another pillar, another ceiling, you know, you want to patch around the dimensions a little bit, that's what the Yisav HaKol B'Chsav is. You have to have a dafka b'derech ha-nevuah. But if there's tzairich, a kro'ashcha v'daruch, then presumably that wouldn't be a problem. So that's what the Gemara says in Maseches Sukkah Daf Nun Aleph. So this type of a sugya that the Gemara raises a question about adding on to different parts of the Beis HaMikdash is not a sugya that appears only in the context of the Simchas Beis HaShaveiv of Sukkos, Sukkah Daf Nun Aleph, but the similar type of a Shach V'Tayr appears in other places in Shas as well. And really the goal of tonight's sugya is to try to understand when this Isra of a Kol B'Chsav does apply and when it doesn't apply, and what exactly the Gemara meant that this was considered to be such an overwhelming tzarech to be matter this otherwise Isra of a Kol B'Chsav. So the sugya appears in a somewhat complicated context, and Daflam Beis, Daflam Gimel, in Maseches Vachim, the Gemara is discussing a din of smichas hakarbonos. We know that certain karbonos that are brought, the person has to lean on the carbon. Usually, the smicha is done in the azar itself. The Gemara learns that from Sukkim that you have to do a smicha right before you do the shechita. So usually, the bailam come and they lean on the carbon, and then the animal is shechted. The Gemara says there's one carbon that we run into a big problem, into a brick wall, trying to get the smicha done properly. And that's the smicha of asher mitzora. What's the problem of smichas asher mitzora? Because the Mitzorah brings his korban on the 8th day. Those who are following Pesachim bumped into this recently. That the Mitzorah brings his korbanos on the 8th day, but he doesn't become tohar until he finishes bringing the korbanos. So now he's mamash in a pickle. Because since he's still tummy, he's what's called the Mechusa Kippurim, he can't come into the Beis HaMikdash. So how in the world is he going to do smicha if he can't come into the Beis HaMikdash? So the Gemara has a whole discussion. How does he stick his fingers into the Beis HaMikdash? He's wanted to do the Matnas Dam, it's a whole sugya in itself. But how could the Mitzorah possibly do smicha if he can't come into the Beis HaMikdash? Chiddush. So the Gemara pilpels back and forth, very complicated, convoluted possibilities in Zvachim, Daflam, and Gimel, how to possibly let the guy come in to do the Smichas Asham. And in the middle of that Sugya, so the Gemara throws out a couple of pieces of information that are important for us. So the Gemara seems to say that the whole requirement of doing smicha on the Asher Mitzvah is only mid the Rabbanon, because Asher Mitzvah is different from a regular Korban Asher. Why that is, that's already not for now. But the Gemara seems to say that smicha's Asher Mitzvah is only mid the Rabbanon. And the Gemara says that we're not going to bend over backwards to do something that would be problematic in halacha in order to fulfill this mitzvah the Rabbanon. Why would it be problematic in halacha? Why can't the Mitzvah just walk into the Azara? So again, we said he can't walk into the Azara because he's Mamish Tamei. So says the Gemara, well, let him just stick his hands into the Azara. How's he going to do that? So the Gemara makes a whole cheshbin that if I had a map here with a board, I drew it out. But the bottom line is that you have to shech the Asher Mitzvah in Tzafon, in the northern part of the Azara. And if you're going to do smicha, it has to be done in Tzafon also. And there's no way for him to get his hands in because there's a wall there. So he's standing outside of the Azara and there's no entrance way. There's no opening. So the Gemara says, what's the big deal? Just make an opening. Just make a bang into the wall, make a little hole, someone will dedicate it, will put a big plaque on it, says this is the place where all the mitzvah to stand and stick their hands in. So the Gemara says, v'lav lo pishpash katan, make a little pishpash, make a little hole, a little masho for the mitzvah to put his hands in. So the Gemara says, no, you're not allowed to do that, because kol b'chsav miyad Hashem. That it doesn't say in the original plans. The Kodesh Baruch Hu gave the plans to the Nevi'im, David and Melech, looking at the plans, there's no plan for the, there's no hole there. There's no place for the mitzvah to put his hands in. Therefore, we have no right. We came up with the Shtikl Torah to insist that the mitzvah puts his hands in there. We have no right to change the Tzuras HaMikdash whatsoever, just to enable us to fulfill this mitzvah of Smichas Asham. And therefore, what we do is we do the Smicha outside the Azara. It's not really good. It doesn't matter anyway. The whole thing doesn't matter. It's all Drabban anyway. So we're not gonna redo the base of Mikdash to create a proper Smicha for the Asham Mitzvah. So again, a complicated Gemara in Zvachim Daf Lamed Gimel. So again, so far we have two Gemaras. We have two Gemaras that raised an issue of Hakol B'chsav, the Yisadir Aisaf, changing the Machmah Mikdush. One Gemara raised the issue about putting up a balcony in the base of Mikdush to prevent talking between the men and the women. And the Gemara sanctioned that by saying that was enough of a tzarech. Whereas when it came to the Asher Mitzvah, the Gemara somehow frowned upon that and said, that doesn't suffice, that's not enough of a tzarech. Then there's a third Gemara that also follows the same line of reasoning, Gemara in the beginning of the sixth pack of Chulin, where the Gemara is discussing the mitzvah of Kisi Adam. We know if you shech the bird, you shech the wild animal, you have to do Kisi Adam. So the Mishnah says, there's no Kisi Adam on Ofos Kachim. When you do Malika in the Beis HaMikdash and being a Korban, so there's no Kisi Adam. So the Gemara's pilpul is, why is there no Kisi Adam? So one of the reasons the Gemara says there's no Kisi Adam is because if you're going to do Kisi Adam, you're going to have a problem, is that how are you going to put dirt there underneath the blood? Normally, when you do Kisi Adam, you have to put dirt under the blood and on top of the blood. So any dirt you're going to put under the blood is going to be a problem, because if you're just going to put dirt there and then you can eventually move it away, so then that dirt's going to be mafsik between the blood and the mizbeach, and that's going to be a problem. And if you leave the dirt there, you mevatel it to the tzuras of mizbeach, then it becomes a violation of a kol b'chsav. So all of a sudden, in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of a sugya of Kisi Adam, the Gemara says if you take a pile of dirt and you pile it onto the mizbeach and you leave it there forever, that's a violation of the issur d'oraisa of a kol b'chsav. Since in the original plans it doesn't say anything about piling this dirt there, that would somehow be a problem. We have a tremendous need to do Kisi Adam. So don't do Kisi Adam. So there's no mitzvah of Kisi Adam since you can't do it. So these are the three Gemaras we have to analyze. What's going on in these Gemaras? We have three sugyas and shas that raise the issue of a kol b'chsav. One of them, the Gemara says, no problem, we can overcome that because it's very, very important. We got to stop the men and women from talking to each other in the base of mikdash. That's very important. So that's a matir for the issur of a kol b'chsav. Then you have two other Gemaras, one a sugya of smichas asher mitzvah, one a sugya of Kisi Adam, which the Gemara says, not so important. Couldn't care less about those mitzvahs. Those mitzvahs don't interest us so much. And therefore, we're not going to use those as matirim for destroying the base, for revamping the tzuras hamikdash. So the question is, what's the rule and what's the exceptional? How do we understand what the klolim are? When are we matir changing the tzuras hamikdash and when not? So Tosfos, it basically presents all these three sugyas, these three different gemaras. And Tosfos says the answer is very simple. It has to be an absolute bona fide tzarech. If there's a real tzarech, then it's mutter. That's built into the system. If there's no real tzarech, then it's not mutter. What qualifies the tzarech? So Tosfos gives you two criteria. First criteria, Tosfos says, is that it has to be a tzarech d'oraisa. It has to be that the problem that you're trying to solve is a Torah-sanctioned problem. It means, if the Torah says, you better get rid of this problem, and the only way to get rid of this problem is to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, that's considered to be a tzarech. If the tzarech is only mid the Rabbanon, that's not good enough. That's not going to be mat in the rice of a kabbachzak. So the Eva Taisa says that explains why, when it comes to smichas Hashem mitzarech, smichas Hashem mitzarech is only mid the Rabbanon, so the whole smichas only mid the Rabbanon, that's not enough for tzarech.
The whole
Gezerah
of Hashem Mitzvah, they
knew about this.
Before
the Rabbanan knew it,
they would go to
Hashem Mitzvah
that they couldn't do this.
There it goes
on?
There it goes on
that the Rabbanan is Smichan Hashem.
No, but we're
going to
do Smichan,
we're
just not going to do it inside the Azara.
That's what the Rabbanan made the
Gezerah,
they knew that.
Okay, so we're trying to figure out. The Gemara is going back in history, trying to figure out what's going on. So the Chum came up with this new takana called Smichas Hashem Mitzvah. So why can't we do it in the normal way of smicha by going into the Azara itself? So the Gemara says, no, you can't do that because that wouldn't be enough of a tzarech. Even though you can fulfill a mitzvah derabanan, that wouldn't be enough of a tzarech. So again, so Taisa's first rule is, if it's only a tzarech derabanan, like the case of Hashem Mitzvah, that's not enough. There's got to be a tzarech deraisa. So then Taisa asks, what about Kisi Adam? Kisi Adam is a real tzarech, that's a tzarech deraisa. So Taisa says, no, that's not such a tzarech. You know why? Because it doesn't say the fairish in the Chumash, you have to do Kisi Adam on Kachim. We'll fulfill Kisi Adam on Chulin. Now we won't fulfill Kisi Adam on Kachim. We state the fairish that you have to do Kisi Adam on Kachim. So Taisa says, there's got to be a real tzarech deraisa that's non negotiable, non conditional, something that must be taken care of. If it's something that we can weasel out, of something that's not so important, something that's a derabanan, something that's not an absolute qualified tzarech, so then there's no reason to do it, and therefore it's not enough to be mat the yisur deraisa of a kol b'chsav. The obvious implication of this tesis is that the one case in the Gemara where the Gemara says they did violate in a sense of kol b'chsav meets both of these criteria. It must be a tzarech deraisa. That means the idea of having men and women shmuzing in the Beis HaMikdash is something that the Torah can't tolerate. It's a real tzarech deraisa. It's more important than smichas Hashem mitzvah, and it's a non-negotiable tzarech. It's not like kisidam. Kisidam, gesh, okay, kisidam. Possum, chum, shum, kis. Doesn't matter. It doesn't say beferish kisidam and kachim. So kisidam we can survive without. But having the men and the women talk in the Beis HaMikdash, that's something that's not negotiable. So that's clear. Mom, you put the three pieces of the puzzle together, and you put the tesis together, that's clearly what comes out from the soft picture. So what L'chaira has to be now understood is a very cryptic comment of the Rosh in his Perush Mishnayos in Maseches Midos, in light of this whole sugya, these three sugyas. There is the Mishnah Maseches Midos goes to step by step. Midos has nothing to do with Midos Tovus. I mean, it's also an important thing. That's all it's about. It's about the dimension of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Mishnayos spell out all the different walls and chambers, everything in the Beis HaMikdash. So one of the structures in the Beis HaMikdash was called the Sereg. So the Sereg was one of the walls around the outer part of the Harbayis. There was an additional wall called the Sereg. And the problem is that the Mishnah never tells us what in the world the purpose of that Sereg was. All the other walls, we know what they correspond to. There's a din of Kedushas Machanas that the Torah speaks about, Machanas Shechina, Machanas Leviyah, Machanas Israel. So when they built the Beis HaMikdash, so they built walls corresponding to those different machanas. So you have the wall of the Azara, and you have the wall of the Harbayah, so that's the Kosel, and you have the wall of Yerushalayim. You have different walls that halachically, and they're nafkamina as Levina. There are some places you're allowed to go when you tummy this degree of Tumah, those who remember the Sugya of the 6th Barak. Some places you're allowed to eat Kachim, Kachim Kalim, Kachim Kachim, Hashem. There are dinim, each of the walls that are around, surrounding the one part of the Beis HaMikdash, another part of the Beis HaMikdash, all had halachic significance to them. The only wall that sticks out like a sore thumb is the Sereg, and doesn't do anything. It was just there. So what was the point of the Sereg? There was a wooden fence around the Beis HaMikdash. That's mabish for what? So the Rosh has a fascinating comment in Maseches Midos where he writes that he thinks that the purpose of the Sereg was not for really Beis HaMikdash oriented, but he thinks that the purpose of the Sereg was for Hilchos Shabbos purposes. One Hilchos Shabbos purposes. So those who remember back, I'm bringing back a lot of memories from the Fiyamim, back to the days of Erevin. So there's a sugya, a lot of sugyas in Erevin, about the sugyas of Lahukah Fadira. If you have an area although it's surrounded by walls, but if it's low, if it's Lahuka Fladira, if the area wasn't surrounded for the express purpose of living in that area, then you have a problem, and sometimes you can't carry it. If it's too big, if it's based aside from Lahuka Fladira, then it becomes a serious problem of carrying it. So the second Berakh Masakh's Ayurveda, the Gemara tells us that in order to create a place that's Lahuka Fladira, It has to be that it's a mokum dira first, and then you build a wall afterwards. Let's say I build a wall around some empty lot somewhere, some orchard, some party somewhere, and then later on I decide to come and put a house in there. That's no good. You have to knock down part of the wall and rebuild it. It has to be a yashal basav hukra. It has to be that that people are living there, it's being serving as a living area, that afterwards it's surrounded by walls, then and only then is it called hukra sadira. So the Rush writes that when they built the Beis HaMikdash, so the Beis HaMikdash, the one place that people lived, namely the Kohanim, they hung out. There are certain chambers there, that the lishkas that the Kohanim was sleeping in, they were eating or whatever. So there were places of Dira in the Beis HaMikdash itself. But the problem was that all those areas were built after the original walls were built. So the way, for whatever reason, when they built the Beis HaMikdash, first they built the walls, then they built the chambers. So the Rush writes, it would qualify as a place of Lahukaf Ladira. And as such, it would be also to carry in the Beis HaMikdash. That would be pretty messy in Shabbos. They couldn't carry anything in the Beis HaMikdash, that would be a big problem. So therefore they had to build another wall for the purpose of Erevin. It's like the Erevin from Yerushalayim, Erevin. So they built another Erev around the Beis HaMikdash. That was after the walls were, after the houses, after the lishkas that the Kohanim were living in was already built. So then they built a backup wall. That backup wall was for the purpose of being mounted to carry. That was the role of the Sereg, the Rush writes. So the problem with the Rush is that isn't that an outright violation of a Kovach Sav? If it wasn't in the original plans, Haraya, they didn't build it at first. It was built in, it was an afterthought. After everything was all done, then all of a sudden they were building. Wait a second, Shlomo Melch, he's the one who instituted a lot of Erevin. So he's figuring out, wait a second, we built the Beis HaMikdash, now we can't carry the Beis HaMikdash, we better, so we gotta fix this. So we went ahead and they built the Sereg. So comes the Echmerim and asks in the Rush, that's Mamash what the Gemara says you're not allowed to do, a Kol B'Chsav. And Lechor, according to Taizus Klolim, this doesn't meet the mark because it's only a Tzorech Medirabonon. The whole din of Lahuk of Ladir is not a Tzorech Deraisa, and still, for some reason, we're being Matir, the Yisr of a Kol B'Chsav. So Lechor, this Rush sticks out in this whole Sugya. How do you understand why isn't the building of the Sereg a violation of a Kol B'Chsav? Yeah, so the Jews say ancient Shabbos doesn't always apply. So it's like it wasn't the end of Erevin. That certain Shabbosim, if it wasn't such a big tzarech, sometimes there were Shabbosim that were practiced. So it's a pella. What's going on with the Sereg? Again, we have no idea where the Sereg was built. The Rush is the first one to suggest this idea that that's what was built, but we don't understand how could that be a matir? What happened to the Yisr of HaKol B'Chsav? So the Maharsha has a comment in the Sugi Masech HaSukkah that would help explain what the role of the Sereg, why the Sereg wasn't the problem. The Maharsha has a Chiddush Gadol in the Sugi HaKol B'Chsav. The Maharsha says that he thinks that the Isser of HaKol B'Chsav is only violated when you build something to try to enhance Avodas HaKorbanos. That means if you're trying to make something in the Beis HaMikdash built for the purposes of Avodas HaMikdash, that's when there's a problem of HaKol B'Chsav. But whenever it's not really Beis HaMikdash oriented, you need an addition for some other technical reasons. There's a tangential reason why you're building on something to the Beis HaMikdash. That's not a Kol B'Chsav. A Kol B'Chsav means the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us dimension. This is what the Mokom HaMikdash has to look like. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu had all the plans ready, all the designs ready, the whole architect's ready. And if you think you're going to improve upon the Tzuris HaMikdash and you're going to do Karbanos in a little bit of a different one, you're going to make new holes and new walls and new chambers and stuff like that, that's what you're not allowed to do. But if you want to add something, if you want to add something to the Beis HaMikdash for some other halachic reason, someday do whatever you want. So the Maharsha says he thinks that bechlal wouldn't be a violation of a Kol B'Chsav. So if that's the case, then this Rush makes a lot of sense. It's not to do with Beis HaMikdash. It's not to do with Kachim. It's not a Karbanos. It's a Shabbos Sugya. So for the purposes of being matir to carry on Shabbos, it should be totally mutter. So that's what, according to the Maharsha, this Rush would make a lot of sense. So Rabbi Moshe Feinstein writes in a tshuva that he finds this Maharsha very, very difficult to understand. The Maharsha doesn't fit into any of the Gemaras. We started out with three sugyas of a Kol B'Chsav and doesn't seem to back up with the Maharsha saying Bechlal. The sugya about Asher Metzora fits in, because that was a Kachim consideration, but the other two sugyas don't make any sense, according to the Maharsha. If the Maharsha is right, so then why did the Gemara have to say that they found a tremendous tzarech, they dashed in the Pasuk, that when and women aren't allowed to talk? And if it wasn't such a big tzarech, it would still be mutter. Because since that's not a karbonis tikkadin, so it would have been mutter stopping. It wouldn't have been an isav a Kol B'Chsav b'chlal. And second of all, even more difficult is the sugya by Kiyasi Adam, where the Gemara concludes that Yitaka not allowed to add on dirt to the Mizbeach, because that'll be an outright violation of the Torah of a Kol B'Chsav, even though that is not a karbonis. That's not difficult. Kiyasi Adam is not a kachim tikkadin. That's a mitzvah schulin. That's a tangential reason. So if the Maharsha is right, Vedas HaRosh, that you're allowed to add on, whenever it's not litzarech ha-mikdash, Sarcha Kavanas, so then why did the Gemara come to into a problem? Why did the Gemara conclude that there's no reason to justify adding on dirt to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Mizbech? Doesn't make any sense. So the Mashal is very, very difficult, you say. So comes with Moshe, and he says, he writes in his tshuva, that he thinks the Mashal's pshat is not the correct pshat. He thinks that the Rosh can be understood in a totally different way. So it has nothing to do with the Mashal. Says Rav Moshe, he thinks the emes of pshat in the Rosh is based on as follows. If you know a little bit about the dimensions, we got a good picture. Mom's right here. Here we go. Base of it, right? It's hard to make out the Ezra's notion, but whatever it is. The basic little bit. It's hard to see. Okay. Yeah, that is the Ezra's. Okay, whatever it is. we'll do without it. So the comes to Moshe and says that we know where the Azara was. That was one particular area in the Beis HaMikdash. Outside the Azara was the Har HaBayis. So the Har HaBayis goes from the outside of the Azara, including the Ezra's Noshim. Ezra's Noshim was also like, got a real picture for me? Oh, you got a big one? Okay. Breaking the action.
There's
a Sarik. What? Oh, there's a Sarik. There we go. Okay. By golly.
So much extra room.
Rabbi's was 500.
What did they do?
It was 500. I'm going to play 500. What was it?
I think it's so much bigger.
Okay, so over here. So the Azara part was over here. Here were the 15 steps, Shemals. This was the separation between the Azara and the beginning of the Ezra's Nashim. The Ezra's Nashim up Yaloch was part of the Har HaBayis, and then it extended out further. So Midaraisa, in terms of Hukas Tuma, so certain Tumeim are not allowed to go onto the Har HaBayis, so the Halachs of the Ezra's Nashim are identical to the rest of the Har HaBayis. There really is no difference between the two. So it says to Moshe, even though it's true, that in terms of Kedushas Machan, in terms of Echus Tuma, so the Ezra's Noshim is not at any higher level than the rest of the Har HaBayis. Says Rav Moshe, thinks that Apidin, there still are differences between them, even on the level of the Araisa, vis-a-vis certain other areas of Allah, even on Asel Ligabi Tuma. Say the Moshel, so Rav Moshe says, there's a din in Vashar Shoftim, L'Situlcha, Asherikal Eitz. You're not allowed to build a wooden structure in the Beis HaMikdash. So which part of the Beis HaMikdash are you not allowed to build a wooden structure on? So obviously, outside of the Ezra's Noshim, you're allowed to build a wooden structure. Haraya, they have the Sarek. And we assume that the Isra of Asherah means any kind of a wooden structure that was made out of wood. So we assume that was okay. If they built in the Beis HaMikdash, we assume that wasn't the problem. But the Ravid writes that when they made that, the Xustra, when they made the platform in the Beis HaMikdash, because Beis HaShoeva, so the Ravid writes that yes, Takasha, why isn't that a violation of Lasit Lecha Asherah Kol Eitz? So the Ravid says, no, it's not a problem of Asherah Kol Eitz because it's coming down right away. They only kept it up for a couple of days during the year for the Sitlach HaShoeva. They didn't keep it up the rest of the year. The women weren't coming, and the rest of the year wasn't such a massive crowds in the Beis HaMikdash, so apparently there wasn't such problems with Kalas Rosh. The women weren't around. So comes the Ravid and says, since it was only up for a couple of days, therefore it wasn't a problem of the TS 8s. So asks for Moshe, I don't understand. For the Ravid, it sounds like if they would have kept it up all year long, it would have been an Isser of Asiyas 8s, but the Sorig was there all year long, and that wasn't the problem of Asiyas Kol 8s. So the Ravid says the answer is the Sorig was outside of the Ezra's Nashim, and this was inside the Ezra's Nashim. I bet Midarais, that's all the same thing. Midarais and the Ezra's Nashim is part of the Harabayas. So says Ravid, you see that it's not true, that it's the same Lagavi Tuma, but it's not like the same Lagavi Olachas. So says Rav Moshe, thinks that the same would be true in terms of the Isser of Akol Bechsav. So says Rav Moshe, he says that the reason why it was mutter to have a Soreg on the Har HaBayis was because that was not included in the Isser of Akol Bechsav. Akol Bechsav is only on the Beis HaMikdash proper. The Beis HaMikdash includes the Heichel, includes the Azar, and includes the Ezra's Noshim. Once you're outside the Ezra's Noshim, so then the whole Isser of Akol Bechsav falls by the wayside. So that's why the Gemara says that vis-a-vis the existence, the balcony in the Beis HaMikdash, that was a real Isser of Akol Bechsav, and if not for the fact that they found a tremendous tzorech, they would never have been able to do it. The tzorech, it was no tzorech, it was a tzorech d'rabbanan, and the Rosh is right, who cares whether they built the tzorech for, it wasn't an Isser anyway. So basically, Rav Moshe says that he thinks the Marsha's defense of the tzorech, that it was somehow not l'tzorech avoyda, that's matter everything, he thinks that's l'hoyot v'amil, he thinks that's not correct, it's against several Gemaras in Shabbos. So again, so chazing back for a moment, so what do we have? So we have three Gemaras that speak about potential issues of Akobach Sav. One of them, the Gemara overcomes. That's the platform in the base of Mikdash, Facility of Shoevi. The Gemara overcomes that problem. Whereas the other two, the Gemara can never overcome. The other two, the Gemara couldn't figure out how to overcome those problems. And therefore, you're not allowed to build an opening for the Asher Mitzayra. And you're not allowed to add dirt to the Mizbeach for Kisi Adam. Those are not bona fide tzarachim. So what are the guidelines of what is a tzarach, what's not a tzarach? So Taisus says the Ferish and Zvachim. The guidelines are really very simple. It's got to be a tzarach deraisa. It's got to be an absolute certain without any negotiations whatsoever. If you can finagle out of it, if it's not so important, it's not a deraisa, it's a negotiable here, it doesn't say befeirish and tar, you can figure out how to do without it, then you're not allowed to add on to the base of Mikdash. So when all the dust settles, there's only one place that we know for a fact that they added on to the base of Mikdash, something that was not in the original plans, and it met all the halakhic criteria, and that was the platform of the base of Mikdash, in order to avoid the men and the women talking to each other during Simchas Beis Yoreva. So comes the Moshe Feinstein in one of his famous shuvas about Mechitza. He has about 20 shuvas about Mechitza. This is the first one, Erechaim. So he says that you see from this Gemara in Sukkah, one thing absolutely crystal clear is that the requirement of a Mechitza in the base of Mikdash is a Din D'Oraisa. That's not negotiable, says the Moshe. If you're going to tell me that the requirement of a Mechitza in the base of Mikdash is only with the Rabbanon, then the Gemara doesn't make any sense. Then why is this Gemara any different than the Asher Mitzvah? So you see from the Gemara, it's crystal clear, says Rav Moshe, that the requirement of a separation between men and women in the base of Mikdash proper b'shas and this Kalas Rosh going on, that's an outright din d'oraisa, b'lishum saf, b'lishum pikpul. That's Rav Moshe's first premise. It takes him 20 pages to prove that, all these quotes in the Gemara, and the Taizim, and the Marshas, and the Rushes, and gives you a whole shikul tamar, achol b'chsav, and the Harabais, everything you ever want to know about Kachim. And then at the end, he says, but this is a yotzim, tachlas advarim, is that you see clear that it's a din d'oraisa. So then comes Rav Moshe and he says, we have to now ask ourselves, what exactly was the tzarech deraisa? What was so terrible that was going on? So Rav Moshe said that if you look at the Gemara speaks about Kalas Rosh. So he says, Kalas Rosh means Kalas Rosh, doesn't mean looking at each other. So he says, Rav Moshe, if the Gemara meant to say the men were looking at the women, it would have said in the Gemara, the men were looking at the women. Doesn't say that. He says it was Kalas Rosh. Kalas Rosh means they were shmoozing, they were talking, they were joking around together. So he says, that was the problem, that was the tzarech deraisa. So now Rav Moshe says, so we know that in the Torah you have to have a separation in the Beis HaMikdash. The question is, how does that translate for us? So does that tzorech in the Beis HaMikdash mean anything for us in our shuls? So on the one hand, we have a Gemara, Maseches Megillah. The Gemara says that the Ve'elehem LeMikdash Ma'at. The Gemara says that after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us a consolation that we have a Mikdash Ma'at. We have Batei Midrashos, Batei Knesios, and we know that there are many halachas that were instituted in Batei Midrash and Batei Knesios, which is supposed to be reminiscent of the Beis HaMikdash. The Moshul Sugis is the end of Megillah, but the Gemara speaks about not eating in shul, the Gemara speaks about not doing other kinds of activities in shul, the Gemara speaks about not sleeping in shul. That's what the rabbi has to always very, very careful in Sukkot, not to give too long drushes. Now I can give a long drush. Everyone's in the Sukkot, everyone falls asleep, it's not a problem. So the rabbi has to always be afraid, he doesn't want to be machshel anyone to fall asleep, because otherwise you'll be sleeping outside the Sukkot. So I always thought, as a dan l'chav schus, why it's mutter for the rabbi to talk, even though people may fall asleep on sukkahs, because the Mishnah says that a holach l'hatpa p'nei rabbi was spotim in a sukkah. So when a person comes to hear the drasha, so it's also matpa p'nei rabbi is coming to visit his rebbe. For some people, it's the only time they come, so that's matpa p'nei rabbi. They're coming to the stay in shul to hear the drasha, so either falling asleep at that time, they're spotim in a sukkah. Okay, anyway, putting that aside. So there are a lot of dinim in the Gemara about Kedusha's basic Knesset. So Benny the Rishonim write that was the only din of Midrabanim. The fact that you can't eat in the shul, this in the shul, that in the shul, those are only Midrabanim. It's Minat Torah. You can't do certain activities in the base of Mikdash. There's a din of Meirah Mikdash. Also, Chumash Mikdash Yitiroh. You know, Misachin, but the Knesios Dumya to the base of Mikdash. So comes a motion and says, but if you look at Iran and Maseches Megillah, the Iran says more than that. The Iran says, and why is it that they treated but the Knesios as a mini base of Mikdash? What's that all about? So the Iran says, because since in shuls, you say Dvarim Shabbat Kedusha. So you see that it's a Kaddish Tikkun place. The Beis HaMikdash is the ultimate Kaddish place because there's a Shechin. Shechin is there, that's the ultimate Kedusha. And when you have a shul, so a shul is also Omim Behem Dvarim Shabbat Kedusha. So that's also considered to be like a Macham Kaddish. The Gemara learns out all the dinim that you're not allowed to daven in front of it. There's an Erev, you're not allowed to daven. There's Tzoa. All those dinim are all learned out from the Pesukim that speak about Kedushas Machane. So, and it says, Ki Hashem Lekech V'Salech B'Kerv Machanecha. So what does that have to do with davening? From davening, the Shechina, so the Teretz is that a Kedush Baruch Hu Shechina is present in a lot of different places. It's present in the Beis HaMikdash, and it's also present when Jews get together and daven and learn and do things like that. That also brings the Shechina down. So there has to be a certain atmosphere, a certain aura when a Kedush Baruch Hu Shechina is present. So the Ran writes that the reason why the Chacham instituted that a shul is like a Beis HaMikdash, and you have to treat it appropriately, is because Olam Dvarim Shebekedusha. So Rav Moshe writes, what he thinks the Ran means is like this. That means B'shas Tefillah, when you're actually using the shul for Dvarim Shebekedusha, then it becomes Mamash Shemachom Kadosh Mederaisa, because since it's Shechinah's there, you're saying Dvarim Shebekedusha, you're saying Kadosh Kedusha, Baruch Leni, you do all the Dvarim Shebekedusha, so there's a Kedusha Samachom and a love of the Araisa. Okay, it's not that a Tomei comes in here and Chayv Kores, but there's a certain Kedusha Mederaisa B'shas Tefillah, that Rav Moshe, that's the Vaposhet. The Chiddush of the Sugyas in Maseches Megillah is that mid the Rabbanan, they extended that Kedusha even not B'shas Tefillah. It means you shouldn't treat the shul inappropriately even when you're not David. There's nobody there. You still have to treat the shul appropriately. But B'shas Tefillah Mamish, so that's a real Din Deraisa, that you have to treat the shul in an appropriate manner. So Rabbi Shai writes that that's the case, and then he thinks that one of the things that's considered to be a steerer to the Kedusha HaMikdash is Schok V'Kalas Rosh. And the Schok V'Kalas Rosh is such a steerer to Kedusha HaMikdash that it's a steerer on the level of the Araisa. It's such a steerer that it's more important than the Asher Metzorah, and it's more important than the Kisi Adam Haraya. It's Matvin Issa the Araisa. It's enough Metzorah to Matvin Issa the Araisa of Kol B'Chsav. So therefore, the Moshe says, in the same way that it's enough Metzorah on the level of the Araisa, to be mat the yisur v'chobach sav, it's a tzorech deraisa. So not only is it a tzorech deraisa in the base of mikdash proper, but it's a tzorech deraisa in a shul. It'll be b'shas atfila. B'shas atfila when dvarim shem kedusha going on. So then the standards of kedusha have to be maintained, mamish like the base of mikdash. So Rav Moshe connects all the pieces of the puzzle. So Rav Moshe says, I spent the first 20 pages of the tshuva proving to you that in the base of mikdash itself, it's clear as day without any shaila that there's an isser of the men and the women hanging out together and schmoozing with each other, because that's a schok v'kalas rosh that's prohibited by the Torah. That's clearly from the sugars of a Kabbalah. Then the second half of the tshuva goes to show you that whatever standards there are on the base of mikdash have to be maintained in shul on a level of the araisa b'shas tefillah. So Moshe says, now you just 2 plus 2 equals 4. So Moshe says, so therefore, if you have a situation in a shul where you have a schok v'kalas rosh and men and women going on b'shas tefillah, that's an isser the araisa. That's a violation. This did kedushas hamikdash, kedushas that. Whatever you want to call it, Kedushas Hashchina, that's an Issa D'Araisa. Therefore, Moshe says that, can't say it's obvious, we have to know Kol Tarkula, Moshe did, to put all these pieces of the puzzle together. So Moshe said, therefore, it's clear as day to him that the requirement of Mechitz and Shul, B'Shas HaTfilah is a Din M'Daraisa. So for a person to dominate in a Shul that wouldn't have a Mechitz, and he thinks that would be an Issa M'Natara, because that's Mamash, that's the same Issa as the beast to participate in the Beis HaMikdash, which is not having, which is not the proper decorum. So participating in a Shul, which doesn't have a proper Mechitz, would also be a serious problem on the level of D'Araisa. So then Moshe goes on to ask, so what's considered to be a proper mechitz? How much is necessary to create this separation? So Rav Moshe writes, going back to what he said before, what's the goal? What exactly was the problem in the first place? If the problem would have been looking at each other, so then the answer would be simple. As long as you can't see, that solves the problem. So Rav Moshe said, but the Gemara never said that was a problem. I mean, there are other problems of looking, but that wasn't what the Gemara was focusing on. He says the problem was Schok V'Kalas Rosh. Schok V'Kalas Rosh means in the shmuzi, everyone's talking and laughing and joking together. So he says, obviously, the goal of the separation has to be to create the impossibility, or not even literally impossibility, but very, very difficult to have a Schok V'Kalas Rosh taking place. So what methods are available to do that? So Rav says one method is to put a balcony. Says that's what they did in the days of the Gemara. And says Rav Moshe, we have no record in the Gemara that they put a mechitza also. Says the Gemara, said they built the balcony, put the women on top, and that was it. There was no mechitza separating that the men couldn't see. The men were able to see. So Rav Moshe says that presumably the women came to the base, everyone was dressed appropriately, so there was no other problems. So he said that we don't find that they put a mechitza up there. So other poskim said, no, of course there was a balcony without a mechitza. Why? We were going to fall down, whatever. Of course there was a mechitza there. So Rav Moshe says, maybe there was, maybe there wasn't. We know the Gemara doesn't say. If I can't, according to Rav Moshe, maybe not only built one. That would be a violation of Chol B'Chsav. It means if you put the women on top and there's no Chol B'Chsav, you have no right to build a mechitza. So according to Rav Moshe, there was no mechitza in the base of Mikdash. It was a balcony. So the Ramesha says, so that for sure works. The balcony zicha works. This is not a plug for any building campaigns or anything. This, the balcony for sure works. But then Ramesha says, but if you can accomplish the same goal without a balcony, so also not type. Vishter halacha moshe, it's got to be a balcony. Maybe in certain shuls, constitutions it says it, but it doesn't say that in the base of Mikdash. So in the base of Mikdash, that was the easiest way to do it. That was the most effective way. But it says it was crowded in the base of Mikdash. There's no room to build a mechitza there. So Ramesha says, but if you build a mechitza, as long as the mechitza accomplishes the same goals, I'm not talking, that's also good. So how big must the mechitza be? How tall must the mechitza be to accomplish that goal? So Ramesha writes, it's got to make it difficult for people to talk. Again, it's not eye contact oriented. It's not looking oriented. It's talking oriented. So how high must it be in order to make it difficult for people to talk? So Ramesha says, try to hold a conversation with somebody when you have some mechitza up to your mouth. It's very hard. You could do it. You could talk. You could scream. You could stand on your toes. But it's going to be hard to have a significant schok l'chal's rosh in such a way. So Ramesh says, therefore, he thinks that as long as the mechitza is pretty much up to shoulder height, it's going to inhibit the conversation to a point where it's going to be very hard to, except for maybe pass babies over or something. Otherwise, it's going to be kind of hard to have a real conversation. So Ramesh says he thinks that as long as it's basically shoulder height, so he thinks that should be okay. The question is, how tall is shoulder height? You've got to measure people. You've got to look at people's shoulders, see how tall. Ramesh wasn't so tall. We have to see how tall people are in order to make it. The bottom line is, you got to. Gotta see, are people easily talking over, if people are easily talking over the mechitza, that's a problem. If people are not easily talking over the mechitza, so then you've accomplished it according to Ramesha. So Ramesha was a big machmer, a big maker of his mechitza. He was a very big machmer because he held that the mechitza and the base of Mikdash was deraisa, and they're from the shul's deraisa, and his whole thrust of his whole tshuva, that's a problem deraisa. Then he was a very big maker because he turns around and says that as long as it's shoulder height, it's also okay. So other posts came question Ramesha's whole premise and said, who said that in the base of Mikdash the Kalas Rosh was the talking? Maybe the Kalas Rosh was the looking. So the other poskim argue that the role of the mechitza was to create, not looking. So then the mechitza has to be higher. It's not enough to be shoulder height. It has to be. It's got to be eye level. It's got to be really high. It's got to be head level, so people won't be able to see. So that was already the machmir against Ramesha. And even the Das Ramesha, so it has to be high enough that it interferes with the ability to talk properly. So, ad kan the chilek ha-halacha. Now the 2 minute of drush, like 2 minutes, I was getting tired myself included. So I think that it's a good, time. It's always a good time for a little bit of chizuk in this area. Everyone has the right here to spread the word to whoever's not here. I think that it's something to take to heart. This idea that we see that this was such a serious consideration in the base of Mikdash, that the Mamish had a pilpul about a Shabbat, their ice, something that was unheard of, to start pachkim and putting in new pods, new dimensions, new buildings in the base of Mikdash, something that we would never have done under normal circumstances. And yet, under these for this particular tzarech, was considered deemed to be a tzarech, their ice, that's not negotiable. So I think it's something that we have to take into consideration also. But I think it's part of a greater picture, as Moshe writes, that the role of a shul, particularly b'shas ha-tefila, is mamish to mimic the Beis HaMikdash. It has to be a Mahom Kadosh. It has to be something that requires the utmost kedusha to it. We spoke, it was definitely Ayashana Rav Bannerman, it was the last year, 2 years, we spoke about the age of children in shul. That's a good follow-up, okay? That's a good follow-up of that. So I think that those are important considerations that we take into account, not just in terms of our children, in terms of ourselves also. I said, what conversations, what general avira we have, not just in our shul, but all shuls. Different things that somehow end up being done b'shas ha-tfila, we have to really stop and ask ourselves, would we do this in the base of Mikdash? I don't know. I find it really hard to believe that somebody would be, while he's in between, the Prachal Tzuka Zimra, be sending a text to somebody in the base of Mikdash, as he's waiting for the crowd between the Shechita and the Kabbalah Saddam, so he's sending an email. It doesn't fit right. It's not a hefsek, because I'm not talking, it's something from Kevager, it's not even Dibur, it's not even Ksiva, but Beinenu, but in terms of them, says that Tzura, Satfila. And I think that's important as a follow-up to last year. It's an important message. What message are we sending our children also? Again, it's not meant because Musa is meant, the Torah is chizuk, all of us together. What message are we sending our children? There are two messages that we want to send about Avodas Hashem, which are summed up in two words, called Gilu Bar Ada. Gilu, of course, means simcha, and we want to impress upon ourselves and our children tremendous simcha, gevaldik simcha, and mitzvahs, and we want our shuls and our yeshivas and to be mamsh mekayemus of simcha. That's true. It's absolutely true. On the other hand, there's also berada. Berada means a certain trembling. There's a certain, you know, we live in a world, you know, we say that we tremble, that's really bad. People already think you have problems. We tell people you're trembling, that you're nervous. We don't want people to be nervous. We're not looking to create phobias here, but to create a certain degree of trembling, a certain degree of Yerushalayim, that's a place of respect and awe. That's absolutely, that's totally appropriate. And we should try to instill that in our children also. We should instill in our children that shul is a place of gila, the place of wonderful simcha, but the place of other also, the place of tremendous pacha, tremendous yira, in a good way, in a positive way. It is a special place. And I think that anything that we could possibly do to get this message of gila bar other home to ourselves and to our families and to our children is something that I think would be a tremendous, as to quote from Chazal, tikkun gadol, tikkun. That's the Gemara lashon. It was a tikkun gadol. I think that it's something that's important for us to work on in our own homes, the home of our shul, and not just our shul, all the shuls that we attend, and all the bat midrashos, and the yeshivas, all the mekamos hakadoshim that we go to, so we can work a little bit more on the gila bar ada. I think that would be a tremendous, that would enhance a tremendous improvement in our total of it, Hashem. So again, in terms of the pure sugyas, so there's a lot of lumdos and back and forth and bepulim, and some important halach lemaisa ramifications, and if we could walk away with a little bit of a gila bar ada, I think that's important. I think just to close, the notion of gila bar ada, of it's not a stira. Not a stira to have tremendous Yerushalayim and to be tremendous simcha. It's so not a stira that it's the whole month. This is the month of gila bar ada. You can't get more of a month of gila bar ada than this. We spend the first half of the month in tremendous Yerush Hashem and Yerushalayim and introspection and this pacharim and sadin. And then there's a tremendous simcha, hayoim, usman, seinu. And the two go hand in hand. The person cannot have real simcha. The person can't enter Chodesh Tishrei on Tezvav Tishrei. First 15 days, he doesn't do the high holy days. That's too scary for him. He likes to pick up the fun part. He likes the bowcraft part of the simcha. It doesn't work that way. Like, if you don't have the foundation of Yerushalayim, if you don't say B'chein Tein Bachtcha, you can't say V'samach B'chagecha. The two have to go hand in hand. So I think it's an important lesson for us that hopefully will not only permeate our shuls, but hopefully permeate our entire Vedasasha. Especially to the Moskowitzes for opening up their home and their sukkah, Teshu Gain Taduru. So, big shkach.